As we get ready to wind down these last two messages on worship, at least at this time, I pray that you speak, I listen, and I am able to translate, interpret that which you want to download in each one of us, including myself. So, Lord, take your word and sow it into our hearts so that, Father, we truly understand and what this series is all about. We truly understand what worship of you really, really is. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to briefly mention just a few more general points about New Testament worship, and then we're going to specifically focus on praise today as an essential part, a part of what overall worship is. Praise is an overall part of that, okay? So let's first take a look at the worship and take a glimpse into eternity. Let's look at the eternal perspective of worship. Heaven, if you didn't know it already, is a place of worship, according to Scripture, not me. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. And then I looked, and I heard the voice. Obviously, John is receiving this revelation on the Isle of Patmos. Holy Spirit's downloading into John, and actually John is being lifted up, and whether he's physically being lifted up or in spirit, he's getting this revelation from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And he says, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Tells you the variety of worship that's going on from all of God's creation, all of it. And the number of them was myriads of myriads. Now, I don't know if anybody can define that word and how many there are in that, but I know it's a lot. Thousands of thousands, he gives after myriads of myriads so that we can understand, okay? Verse 12. Saying all of these together with a loud voice, didn't say a soft voice, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. You can just study that verse and worship for about 5 minutes off of that. And every created thing, not just us, every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying this, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. You will never stop worshiping God. And the four living creatures, besides us, kept saying, listen, they kept saying, that's right, that's right. If you didn't know what amen meant, that's right. As they heard these words, amen. That's when we say amen. So if you're in the middle of a sermon and you're preaching a sermon and I say something that happens to be right, there's nothing wrong with you saying, amen. No, that's right. I like it, that's right, better. I understand it a little better. But that's what they're saying here. The four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders, when they heard that, fell down and worshiped. Do you know you can worship from a falling down position? A lot of people poo-hoo that, or boo-hoo that, whatever that is, poo-hoo, boo-hoo. But you can worship on your face, on your back, on your knees, in front of the sink doing dishes. You can worship anywhere, because worship is giving glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving unto God. Praise is part of it. Worship is part of it. On your knees is part of it. Clapping your hands is part of it. Moving your body is part of it. Falling down is part of it. It's all given. Lord, I'm just yours. They worshiped. Go to Revelation 19, verse 5 through 7. This isn't something that we're just the first ones to be able to do for God. This has been going on in all eternity. And will continue to go on in all eternity. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God. We'll cover that a little bit today. Give praise to our God. If you go over there to that first, little banner that we have up there, there's thanksgiving, which is part of that. And then next to that is praise and adoration. You could walk around this sanctuary and spend at least an hour if you said, well, how could I pray for an hour? Just spend some time at each banner that we've got listed up in here, and I guarantee you, you'll be in the midst of worshiping God. It'll just carry you into a deep and a depth of worship if you've never experienced it before. We don't have them there as pretty pictures. It's a teaching so that we can walk around when we forget exactly what we might want to say. The Holy Spirit reminds us through the Word of God, and it's the Word of God. And a voice came from the very throne, saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear, you reverence, you fear him, the small and the great. No matter what you've accomplished, we all give praise unto the one who deserves it alone. And I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and a sound of many waters. Have you ever been around that where you've heard this, the rushing like of Niagara Falls? The many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, like on the mountain when God came to the Israelites, where they couldn't take it. It was like, oh my gosh. Saying, and there was all this loudness saying, hallelujah. You know what that means? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yah's Yahweh. Praise the Lord. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. That means he's boss. That means he's king. That means he's not left his throne. And in your life, he rules supreme. And if anything takes that place, you are idol worshiping. No matter what it may be. Even eating ice cream. Seriously, if eating ice cream takes precedence over worshiping God, you better worship God first, then go get your ice cream. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. Let us rejoice and be glad, not sad. So many times you go into a worship service, it is so sad. No, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. In other words, he's already prepared the table. It's come. It's just a matter of him saying, come on up. It's called the rapture. And we're going to eat and drink and be merry. Be merry. We're not going to be sad. We're going to be in eternal life before the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Wow. Brett said it again this morning. What could be more hallelujah than that? If you can scream on a roller coaster, you can scream the Lord's name in hallelujah. That roller coaster is not going to hear nothing. But the Lord will hear and respond in your life, saying, that's right. And he can say that. Give him glory. The supper is come, and the bride, that's us, has made herself ready. Are you ready? There's a good question. Are you ready personally? Have you prepared for your husband? Have you prepared for that marriage supper, that banquet that just brings a fullness to the fact that you said I do and he said I do, and now we're just waiting for the meal afterwards? How many have been waiting while people are getting pictures? Oh gosh, we've been to the wedding, they said I do, and we're waiting to eat, and we're waiting to eat, and they're out there taking pictures and going, oh, this and oh that and this and that. And we're going, come on, feed us. And they're just doing all the pictures and stuff. Come on, I know you felt that way. I'm not the only one that's sitting there saying, will they stop taking pictures for crying out loud? They're probably never going to look at them again anyway, except on special occasions. This is a special occasion right now. I'm hungry. But come on, we're going to go to heaven. We got something to look forward to. And I'll tell you what, that banquet that you're going to have there is going to outdo any banquet you're going to get down here. And we should be making ourselves ready for that. And some of us are. We're priming ourselves. We're going to those buffets, you know, practicing what we're going to do when we get up there. The good part about being up there is we will not gain weight, I don't think. Now, if that's not, look, I got you guys praising and worshiping over food. How much more hallelujah to the Lord? Oh, God, you guys are easy. Make yourself ready. In other words, understand that the marriage supper is coming and we ought to be about the Lord's business. We need to be telling everybody that there's this wonderful meal waiting for us in heaven. If you say it that way, you'll get more converts. There's a great meal waiting for you in heaven. Oh, really? Then they get interested, then you get them saved. Then you lead them to the Lord, right? We also see worship not just in heaven, but in the birth of our Savior. It went from heaven to the birth of our Savior. Matthew 2:2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Where? For we saw a star in the east, and we've come to worship him. In other words, we knew he's somewhere, and we've come and we're going to worship him. Because that's what we've been instructed to do. We know in our spirit, man, that we're to worship this king who has been born. It was prophetic. They've been told. They were told by God. The king is coming. I'm telling you today, the king is coming to return. Not so much as Savior, but as Lord. He came as Savior. He's coming back as Lord. Amen? Let's get this thing called loving obedience down. The Word of God. He's given us some things to do and to practice before he comes. And it's not just eating. It's a whole lot of things that we can learn from each other. Get in a group. Get in a discipleship group. Stir each other on. Rub each other. Iron sharpens iron. Let's do it. Let's be ready. Prepared. Because we're going to worship. Worship is an expression. Listen now. Worship is an expression of faith that declares Jesus is always worthy, worship, worthy of worship. Always. No matter what. I don't care what's going on in your life and how sad you are because, you know, somebody may have died in your family or you're going through a divorce or maybe you lost a child or maybe something happened in this life because, you know what, sin entered into the world and those things happen because sin entered the world in Adam and Eve. And so it rains on the just and the unjust, and those things are going to happen. I wish they didn't have to happen to Christians. And yes, you can have enough faith and still not be healed at some time. It's not because of your faith that you're not being healed. Everybody's been given a measure of faith. God is still sovereign. There are things in people's lives that we don't know about. And there's things that we declare when we're in the middle of doing things that we shouldn't be declaring. I don't know. I'm not here to give that answer because one day I'll get it when I get into heaven. But I can tell you this. He's worthy of worship no matter what is going on in your life. No matter what you may be facing or thinking that this should be happening. I wanted my wife healed 3.5 years ago. I don't understand. I cry out to God like the rest of you. I mean, gosh, the most godly woman I know. What's up? But I know this. He's the one who's up and will always remain up. And he is sovereign. And I am going to continue to do the things that the Bible tells me to do, to pray in faith and do all those things, to lay hands on everything. But God is the ultimate one who heals. And so I will worship him no matter what. And we need to remember that at all times. Folks, we want to be what God is looking for. Remember he says his eyes look to and fro for those who will what? Worship him in spirit and truth. To give glory to him. He's looking. He says, there's enough rebellious people in the world. I'm looking around and I'm seeing all of these people who are living contrary to my word. I'm looking for one. Back then in the old time, I'm looking for one righteous man. What does that mean, righteous man? One, just one who's doing right. Does he have to look that hard? Can we make it easy for him? Can we be the ones to say, like Isaiah did when he got to heaven, here I am, Lord. Me. Send me. I want to send the message. I want to send the message. How about us saying, me, Lord. Me, Lord. I want to be the message. I want to be the message. You could shout that out. It's okay. We want to be what God's looking for, and that is a people who will worship him in, now listen, spirit and truth. It's not difficult to understand. To worship him in spirit and truth. He said it in John 4:24. God is spirit. We know that. God is spirit. He manifested himself and became a man, but he's spirit. But he became a man, just like angels. They're spirits, right? But didn't he say in the Bible, you may be entertaining an angel unaware? That means that those angels can also become visible, just as Jesus, God, became visible in Jesus Christ. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him two ways, in spirit and truth. Folks, there's a delicate balance between spirit and truth, okay? Let me define it for you. Spirit, and you already you better know this answer, because I preached on it for probably 15 weeks, and, well, you may know or not. Spirit is the anointing of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit divvied up amongst us all. It's God divvied up amongst us all. We're nothing but nephesh, the breath of God breathed into to a walking body. We're just a living being. We're not anything and remotely part of God as just a vessel that has the breath of life in it and flesh. If we don't have His Spirit, we go back to the dust from which we came. You understand that, right? God is Spirit, and we want His Spirit. So if we're going to worship Him in spirit and truth, listen now, the Spirit is the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. Truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the truth. And He wrote all about it. He's the Word. He's the truth. So we have the Spirit, which can speak to us spontaneously in us and through us from God outside of the written Word. He can sing through us. He can help us walk in obedience without reading this. Listen to me, I'm not diminishing the Bible here. I'm giving you one half of this. The Spirit of God can help you move and have your being and say the right things and do the right things without a booklet in front of you. Because He's in you. You can worship God. He says creation worships God. How can creation worship God? They haven't read the book. No, this is for us. This is an addition. This is awesome. But creation, if this isn't presented to somebody, will testify that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Don't misunderstand that now. Spirit, the Holy Spirit, only God can give you the things to say and do that are of God. It's prophetic. It's words of knowledge. It's those things that you didn't have a clue of, that you didn't read. But it will always, because He's God, and because this is God, it will always agree. It'll have the same emphasis. It'll have the same character and integrity. Maybe not exactly the same words that you get, that you give, match this, but it'll have the same emphasis and the same character and nature. Just like you use different words to scold your children sometimes. Right? It's not the same all the time. Shame on you. You may not say that every single time. Do it again and I'll beat you. No. You know, you use different words to discipline. You use different words to describe a piece of chocolate cake. If I asked 10 different people, they would describe it probably 10 different ways. It's still a chocolate cake. Understand that the Spirit, you're free. It's the anointing. It's God speaking in and through you, and you're flowing and moving in the river of God, and the river flows where it goes, right? To worship in spirit and truth means to worship in spirit, to let the river flow, to let the spontaneous song come, to let the spontaneous words come, to let your life be led in such ways that it's spontaneous. It's really not spontaneous, it's just listening and obeying. That's spirit. True worshipers allow the truth of God to be understood under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. Listen. The result is a life of reverence and adoration towards God. You read this without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's just words on a page. The world will do that. They'll read it and go, what? We use Christianese. We use it all the time. Have you been slain in the Spirit? What are you talking, slain in the Spirit? Slain in the Spirit. You know, we just use words. Have you been crucified, delivered? I say, what? What are you getting out of that? Are you dead to self? I'm around a weirdo. Who wrote that book? You don't have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You do not understand. So we have to understand that true worshipers allow the truth of God to be understood underneath the anointing. Now, again, if the anointing is in me, I can convey a truth to you. If the anointing is in Teresa, you know, any of you, you can convey the truth because it's the anointing that conveys. It's Understand the relationship between spirit and truth. It's the Holy Spirit that generates this truth to take effect in people's lives, in your own life. Your best teacher isn't me, it's the Holy Spirit. I should just be affirming what you've already been a part of. If the summation of your spiritual experience is what you get from here at the pulpit and stuff like that, I pity you. Okay? So I'm just trying to clarify this last part of worship, and then we're gonna hit praise right now, and we're going to finish this sermon with praise being a part of your worship. But just understand that when he says to worship in spirit and truth, it's to be understood that the Holy Spirit is your teacher, and he will teach you to reverence and adore the Father and the Son. So let's talk about the dynamo, or what I say, the dynamite, or power of praise. What can praise do to enhance your worship? What can praise do? And Brett hit it this morning. And I'm going to hit it in Greek, in Hebrew for you today. Mostly Hebrew. Because it began well before the New Testament. We were worshiping day one. The automatic response of a person when he or she is born again. Converted. Born again. Ask Jesus into your heart. Is to give joyous thanksgiving and praise to God. The first thing you're going to do before you ever get into a lifestyle of being obedient is just to simply recognize, whoa, I'm going to eat at that table. I'm part of the family of God. I've been saved. I'm going to see Jesus one day, the Father one day. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to see my loved ones who are in heaven. I'm just so thankful, God. I could never have done this on my own. You've given me everything. I'm just so full of joy. I could sing joy, joy, joy. Joy and thanksgiving is an initial response. Praise is an initial response to what you've been given, to who God is, who God was, and who God is in the future, because you're going to be part of that future. Thanking him for who he is, who he was, and who he's going to be. Brett said it. Praise God, I've been saved. Comes well before we get the process of going through all the things we do to worship him. It's just generally that first thing that's out of the heart. It leads us. Praise leads us into a life of worship. Let me say amen. That's right. Praise, basically what I said, takes us into his presence. When we begin to give thanks, when we begin to honor him and just begin to shout how wonderful he is, it takes us into his presence. And where then we can't help but worship. We've got to love him. We've got to be obedient to him because we see what he's given us. It's like, who would not want to love and worship the one who has just given you eternal life, as Brett said, who's given you everything that you could possibly ever want, need, or think of, and never lack? Praise takes us into his presence where we can't help but worship with him with reverential awe and obedience. Not just with our lips, but with our hands and our feet. Reverential awe and obedience. Savior and Lord, Master, Ruler, Owner. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. We always read it that way. When we sing, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. I mean, there's a dynamic behind what we say. We say it, but do we do it? Raise your hands unto the Lord. Lift your hand. We sang about it in the Song of Freedom. Lift your hands. Do you lift your hands? When it says bow down, we stand there. Bow down before the Lord and give him praise. Bow down before the Lord and give him praise. You can get right back up. Well, some of us. If you can't, we can do that. We do it when we eat. I guess my point is we sing bow down. We sing shout in such a way as to not be able to recognize it. Does God recognize it? Are you just singing words, or you shout to the Lord? All the earth and my heart, I give you joyful praise, O Lord. I raise my hands to you, Lord. I kneel in your presence. It's different than shout to the Lord, I give my hands to you, and I kneel in your presence. You can see the difference. All we're just trying to say to you is, yes, should you be animated? Yes, at times you can be animated. If not with those who love the Lord the same way you do in the same house, how are you going to do that in public? Never be ashamed of God. Never be ashamed to say, I love you, I praise you, God, or I lift my hands to God, even when you're walking down the street. She puts the headphones on, down, hallelujah, and I'm looking at her going, God, I wouldn't do that. Because my flesh gets in the way. It's like, ooh. What's the worst thing that can happen? Somebody looks at her and go, amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Hello. Come before him with joyful singing. I'm not trying to mock it. I'm just trying to say, take it up. Take it up an octave. Know that the Lord himself is God. If you know that, you're going to take it up an octave. You're going to take it all the way up. Full volume. What was it? I know I go to this movie because I watch it every year. Full steam, Rudolph. What? He didn't say that. Something like that. Full power. Thank you for another one that watches it same every year. Full power, Rudolph. We got presents to deliver. Well, that's what God said to his son. Full steam ahead, Jesus. We got our presence to deliver. And it goes well beyond the story of Santa. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We forget that. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. That ought to humble you. Put you on your knees. I'm a sheep. Well, it's an analogy, right? A metaphor. Bow before the Lord in his presence. You come before the king anywhere else, if you don't bow before the king in the natural setting long ago, your head was lopped off. How much more the King of Kings? Enter his gates. How? Thanking him with thanksgiving. Enter how? You know, our life is a life of worship, but when we enter his gates, we come with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's what allows us to worship. That's what's part of worship. It brings us into his presence so we can then bow and do all the other things. But you got to get there. And to get there, you got to get that frame of mind on you that you thank him for everything and you praise him for everything and in everything. Give thanks to him and bless his name. He wants to hear his name. Yahweh, Jehovah. Yahweh, Jehovah Machadesh, Jehovah Sidkanu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, peace, sanctification, righteousness. Oh man, he absorbs that. That's Psalm 100. Any more verses there? Yeah. For the Lord's good, his loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness goes to every generation. You can start your worship with that. Praise. You praise him to enter into worship. The following Hebrew words, and you've been taught this before, but I'm going to go briefly over them again, were used for the word praise in the Bible, which are what? Expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving to God, what we just described. And here are the words that God used and gave to the writers under the inspiration of Holy Spirit to write. The first word is yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada. It refers to the raising and the extending of your hands. Do not be embarrassed in this place to do that, okay? That's all I'm going to say about it. It's simple. Yada. Raise your hands unto the Lord. You don't even have to say it. He knows. He knows, right? Psalm 134, 2. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary. Not to the sanctuary. Should say in the sanctuary. And bless the Lord. Bless him by raising your hands is what, in other words, the word zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. It refers to praising him with musical instruments. Well, God gave us the ability to create instruments. Psalm 33, 2. Give thanks to the Lord, not just with your voice, with the lyre. Not the lyre, the guy sitting next to you that might have lied. No, I'm just kidding. The lyre is something, isn't it? Is it like a It's kind of, somebody tell me what a lyre is. Like a harp. With the lyre. I know David played it a lot. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Not 9. Just kidding. Any instrument. The shofar, the flute, the trumpet. Praise him with instruments. Give thanks to the Lord. You can give thanks to him by playing it as unto the Lord. Not as unto getting those people to dance provocatively. Not as having your own little band just so that you could get accolades and recognition. But you play it as unto the Lord. Tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A. Tehillah in the Hebrew means a new song, one that's spontaneous from the heart. In other words, hey, I just wrote that. And sometimes, hey, I just sang that. And you just sang it without having written it. That's Tehillah. Like Mary's song in Luke chapter 1 when she visited Martha. Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth. New. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord because of this spontaneity of praise unto God. They're going to be in awe. And then Luke 1, 46 to 51. And Mary said, here's Mary's song now. Spontaneously, she speaks this when she's in Martha's presence from her heart. And this is prophetic, by the way, because remember, Jesus is just the baby, just born. My soul exalts the Lord. So automatically she knows this baby is the Lord because God told her, and she believes it. Verse 47. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Woo, she knows he's Savior and Lord. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all and all generations are going to count me blessed because I've birthed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. She's just praising him. Now she's saying that to this little baby, about this little baby. Is that not prophetic? For the Mighty One has done great things for me. He hadn't had a chance yet. All he's doing is making her change his diaper. That's not great things. I did that yesterday. That was not a great thing, Aubrey. It was not. I was quick with the hands just to make sure nothing else happened besides, you know, that whatever. You all know what I'm talking about. For the Mighty One's great things. Holy is his name. That's set apart above every name, the name above every name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who, what? Reverence him, fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who were proud with the thoughts of their heart. This is mom talking to baby or singing about baby. What a prophetic song. What a prophetic praise. Halal, H-A-L-A-L, refers to one shining, celebrating, rejoicing distinctly. One shining, celebrating, rejoicing distinctly. That means you're wearing it on your face. You're wearing it with your body language. Oh, 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 I get to babysit Braden. I hate it when he leaves. I hate it. That's the hardest part of babysitting your grandson is when he has to leave. Seriously, it's a void. It's like there's like a void. And that's what God does with us too. If you're neglecting God, if he's not in your presence, if you're not making him part of your presence, which you have the ability to do, there's a void. And generally you start heading in different directions because you're lost. It's the way it is. Shine, celebrate, rejoice distinctly. And this would include dance. Oh my goodness gracious, I can dance before the Lord and be happy. My feet get happy. Mike Spring introduced me to that one song about happy feet. A lot of people don't like it, but it's an upbeat song that talks about get up, you wallflower, away from that chair against that wall and get those feet rejoicing. Yeah, I didn't get any amens on that one. Some of you don't know how to dance. Some of you can't dance. Who cares? God just wants to see your feet move. He wants you to be lifted high and move those feet. Psalm 149:3. Let them praise his name with? Amen. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. See, it's not just instruments that praise God. It's your feet. It's your hands. It's your voice. It's your countenance. It's your lifestyle. Barak. Barak, B-A-R-A-K, refers to the acts of adoration such as kneeling expectantly. Ooh. God, I'm a wishing and I'm a hoping and I'm a praying and a hoping and a wishing that you're going to do this and do that and stuff like that. And, you know, he's probably going up there, quit whining. Pray with confidence. If it's in my word and in my will, you may not get it right away. Don't be a baby and just go into a tizzy fit. Be patient. My Kairos time's coming. But pray with boldness. Pray with authority. Jesus made it possible. Not the wine. Barak. Kneel expectantly and quietly. You don't have to tell the person next to you some of the sordid details of what you're going through, that they don't need to hear that. God can hear you. The devil can't. Good. But as you pray quietly, God hears your prayers. Now, when you want to rebuke the devil, say it out loud, because he can't hear you if you do it quietly. There's a difference. Shabak, S-H-A-B-A-C-H, refers to shouting. Shabak! If you don't think that the Israelites shouted, then go and just go back to Joshua when they marched 7 times, blew the shofar like I did this morning, and then he said, with a shout, the walls will come down. Sometimes the walls in your life will come down when you shout. And God's waiting for you to shout, but you're going, it's not my personality. It would be if I stepped on your foot real hard. And if I can step on your foot real hard to get you to shout, I think you can initiate it yourself if you're thinking about God. Nobody's going to judge you unless you're doing it really weird. Folks, our lives are under a theocracy. You know what that means? God's government. His governing authority. We have no say-so. Kind of getting like America today, isn't it? Hate to say that, but we're not a theocracy. We're a democracy. We should have a say-so. But with God, God is not America. What he says goes. We are born of God. If you didn't know that, we are all born of God, controlled by God. And he rules and he reigns in this controlling environment. If he's not, then, as we say before, he might be your savior, but you've not yet made him Lord. Therefore, you're not really saved. You can't just go to the altar and say, I do, and have somebody forget about you and go off and live like the devil. I don't care how many theologians come up to you and say, oh, but in the word, you know, if you just say grace once, you're in. It's a lifestyle. It's in what Revelation says, if you persevere, if you endure, if you do not fall back away from what? You had to have your salvation to be able to fall away from it. He expects you to live a life of Christ, not a moment of Christ. I'm not going to go there. It's a whole other sermon, and I'm not preaching it today. Understand that the world opposes this view. The fact that, you know, we should be controlled by God, that he rules and he reigns. The world opposes this view and tempts you to worship pleasures, cravings, and desires. Let everybody do what's right in their own eyes. That's what happened in Noah's time. And they did what was right in their own eyes. And then they were looking up from beneath the waters, asking for their next breath and not getting it, because a flood came and wiped out everybody but Noah and his family. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes, just like we say today. Oh, we just do what's right in our own eyes. The theology, what we believe we can have and do what's right in our own eyes. Yeah, you just keep practicing that. See where that gets you. That's not biblical. Pleasures, cravings, desires of your own, forget it. Romans 12:2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Can your body be a spiritual service? Yes, if your spirit man is controlling your body. If your soulish tendencies, if your pleasures and desires are controlling your body is a disgrace. You're sinning against your own body. But this body can be controlled by the Spirit of God if you let it. Don't say you can't. You can. It's a choice. Like Adam and Eve had a choice, you have a choice. It's your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't let it go migrate towards the pleasures of this world, but be transformed. Let it go from what it wants to do on its own to the lordship of Jesus Christ, where you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. It no longer is thinking about those cravings and desires and pleasures. Now I'm thinking about God, so that you may prove. This is to prove what the will of God is, because you're carrying out what's in His Word. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. If it doesn't fall underneath the category of good, acceptable, and perfect, don't do it. The key word being acceptable. Right? How do I know if it's acceptable? Well, let's start in Genesis 1:1 and it goes to Revelation. When we look at the various words for praise, folks, and I'll stop there, from Scripture and its perspective from Scripture, we can see that it's vocal, it's physical, it's melodious, it's emotional, and it's devotional. It's vocal, it's physical, it's melodious, it flows. It's very emotional at times, as we know. And it's devotional. Folks, creation itself manifests praise unto God just by the wonder of it all. If you've ever watched the Animal Planet or anything of the National Geographic, or if you've just experienced it yourself by being out in nature like I did yesterday a little bit when I walked out and I watched my little grandson looking up. And I swear he must have saw angels. He was reaching up and going, Children can do that. I really believe they see angels. Creation will manifest praise unto God just by the wonder, the magnitude, and the complexity of it all. Last scripture, Psalm 148, 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels, and praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. And lastly, praise is not only a personal encounter, it is a corporate experience. And I'm going to say that again for emphasis. Praise is not to be in the closet. It can be and should be. But it's not just a personal encounter, it is a corporate experience. Oftentimes when Israel would corporately sing, everybody singing and praising the Lord and shouting like instructed, and shouting, praising, and singing, they would rout their enemies. They would rout their enemies. Do you know what it does to the devil when he hears us all in unison shouting and praising and hallelujah to the Lord? He can't stay. He's not going to listen to that. Oh, it upsets him so. How much do you want to upset the devil and elevate God? They would rout their enemies. Folks, in the New Testament, we have so much more revelation from God that we should out-sing, out-dance, out-obey, out-say, and out-pray all those who had less understanding of God in the Old Testament. Right? We should be doing it better. There ought to be more miracles and healings and deliverances because we've had the experience of 2,000 years or more. Folks, it's a privilege to praise our God and to know that God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen?